Competition on the court is dwarfed this week by the competition in state and national legislatures. We've got the healthcare debate in Washington, D.C. We've got a lot of chatter about the FBI's investigation of involvement, collusion, collaboration between the Trump administration or various Trump campaign officials and Russia. We've got the Neil Gorsuch hearings, the confirmation hearings taking place this week in the Senate with the vote scheduled to come up within the next few weeks. That's just on the national level. On the state level, there's fights over sanctuary cities, impact fees, both of which could potentially affect us here locally. And of course, today, the one-year anniversary of House Bill 2. It's all daunting and overwhelming. And we are joined now by Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling, Director of PPP, to try to make sense of at least the state of public opinion surrounding all of these issues. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron, good to be with you.
So I know that's a lot to cover, but let's start with healthcare, since that's what seems to be at the top of the headlines today, at least on the national level. No vote today on the repeal and replace plan that currently is out there for the House of Representatives. Possible vote tomorrow. No indication one way or the other whether it's going to pass. Very, very steep uphill battle in the Senate if it even gets past the House. But where do the American people stand on the healthcare issue right now?
Well, you know, we did a poll on this last week nationally and found that only 24% of voters supported it, 49% opposed it. And at the time, those seemed like pretty eye-popping numbers. But what it seems is happening is that the more and more the Health Care Act gets discussed, the less and less popular it gets. Quinnipiac University had a new national poll out on it today. They found only 17% support and 56% opposition. So it was really pretty unpopular right off the bat, and indications are that it's just becoming even more unpopular. And obviously, this is something where if Republicans were unified about it and they all wanted to pass it, they certainly could, since they have the power to do that. But what we found and what Quinnipiac found is that there's a significant amount of ambivalence about this bill, even among Republican voters. We found that only 37% of Republicans supported the American Health Care Act, 22% opposed, 41% no opinion one way or the other. So this sort of divide that you're seeing among Republican members of Congress about whether they think this bill is a good idea or not is a divide that we're seeing among Republican voters nationally as well, where you just see a significant number of even GOP-based voters who aren't that sold on it. And then on the other side of the coin, Democrats pretty much unified against it, and independents mostly against it as well. So that's an interesting dynamic, because what we found on most things since Donald Trump took office as president is that Republicans generally, if Trump said he wanted something, they went along with it. Republican voters and the Health Care Act is where that trend has stopped, even with Trump really pushing support for this bill. There's just a lot of Republicans who are ambivalent, and that's how you get to the point where it could have less than 20% support nationally.
And if you're listening out there, by the way, you can head online to publicpolicypolling.com and get a lot of these numbers on the website. This is from the survey last week. And I know we talked last week about the healthcare issue, Tom, and the survey that PPP did compared the AHCA or Trump Care, whatever you want to call it, the plan that's out there right now, compared that to Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. And there's increasing support just sort of generally for the Affordable Care Act, and certainly a lot more Americans prefer keeping or tweaking the Affordable Care Act to the Republican plan, which is to scrap it all together and replace it with this other thing. We talked about that last week, but what about public opinion if you just sort of remove that dichotomy between Obamacare and Trump Care, the ACA and the AHCA, and think about sort of other possibilities for health care? What do people think about sort of scrapping it all and going back to the way it was in 2007, 2008? And flip side of that, what do people think about moving away from the sort of middle ground plans that we've been seeing for the last 10 years and going further down the road to Medicare for everyone or single payer or Canadian style system? Do we know what public opinion is on that?
Well, I think we definitely see support for some of those sorts of concepts. And one thing that is interesting that has always been true in the polling about the Affordable Care Act is that there were a certain swath of the population that opposed it from the left because they thought it didn't go far enough in terms of achieving health care for enough people or good enough health care. But I think that one thing that we're definitely seeing with this health care debate is just how hard it is. So, for instance, a lot of the time over the last 5 or 6 years, when you asked people if they wanted to repeal Obamacare, they said yes. And now that people are seeing just how complicated everything that goes into making that decision to repeal Obamacare is, there's a lot more pause about doing that. And I think you might find that you'd have a similar sort of dynamic with some of those other approaches to health care, is that even if in a vacuum people think they sound like a good idea, it may be that when you get to an actual plan, that support would go down because it just ends up being more complicated than it sort of seems to be on the surface. So I think what is sort of unique about the Affordable Care Act is it's something where voters really started out with a lot of skepticism about it and continue to have skepticism about it for several years after its passage. But now that they're seeing the alternatives and now that they've seen it in action, it's become a lot more popular. And that's something that has just been seen in poll after poll after poll from different national polling companies, is that where 2013 and certainly on back to 2010, voters opposed Obamacare by 10 or 15 points. Now they support it by 10 or 15 points. And I think that shows that a lot of the time with these healthcare plans, it's sort of something where it takes time for voters to really become comfortable with it. And I think that's why we're seeing so much hesitation about throwing the Affordable Care Act out and starting with something else now, is that this is something that people have gradually come to see as a pretty good program. And you know, now there's concern about whether taking a different approach, be it the Republicans' approach that they're taking right now or something completely even different from that, might just not work out that well.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling, turning to the Supreme Court vacancy and Neil Gorsuch's nomination. I know this is an issue where it's a lot more difficult for people to follow this one, because a lot of the legal concepts can get really technical, almost Byzantine, and it's hard to really be knowledgeable about the specific details of a Supreme Court nomination without having gone to law school forever. But what if anything do people think about Neil Gorsuch? Are they in favor of the nomination? Do they wish it were Merrick Garland? What do people think?
People really don't think anything about it. I mean, this is something that it certainly is a big issue right now among people who follow politics really closely and what you would sort of think of as elites. But the chances of the Supreme Court nomination playing a particularly big role in the result of any future election, I think, are pretty minuscule. I think what's really telling on that is there was a C-SPAN poll that came out this week that asked people if they could name a Supreme Court justice, and a strong majority of voters in the country could not name a single Supreme Court justice. And the Supreme Court justice who the largest number of Americans could summon up and name was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I think the percentage of Americans who were familiar with her who could summon her name was 14%. Mm. So your most well-known Supreme Court justice is known to 14% of Americans. A majority of Americans can't name a single Supreme Court justice. And the person who I was saddest for in this survey was Stephen Breyer. Not a single one of the people they polled could name Stephen Breyer as a member of the Supreme Court. So I think that poll was a pretty good sort of reality check on how closely voters follow the Supreme Court stuff, and the answer is just not much. So I think Republicans are pretty safe in going ahead and confirming Gorsuch, and really it's a situation where I think Democrats hoped last year that they could turn the Supreme Court into a political issue and make that something that people would vote on, the unfairness to Merrick Garland and not letting Obama nominate somebody, and you know, clearly that did not turn out to be something that turned voters against Republicans at the polls. So I definitely think in terms of something that could have a real impact on future elections and sort of a long-lasting impact on politics, the healthcare stuff is by far and away the most important thing going on right now in Washington.
Is that 14% on Ruth Bader Ginsburg roughly equivalent to the percentage of Americans who watch Kate McKinnon on Saturday Night Live every Saturday?
That might be a pretty good way of measuring it.
Speaking with Tom Jensen and talking about healthcare, talked about Neil Gorsuch, let's turn to the issue that may very well be the thing that 50 years from now we all associate 2017 with, which is this whole Russia investigation and the daily stream of bombshells about this. I don't want to raise the question of how many revelations do Americans need before we start talking about the House of Representatives taking actual action over and above merely investigating, but where do people stand on that?
Well, we definitely find that people think there needs to be an independent investigation into Trump World's ties to Russia. 63% of voters support that. Only 28% are opposed. And I think what is sort of striking there is so much of what we poll about these days right now on a national basis, it'll be like 45 to 45, 46 to 44, because the country's so divided. And the issue of the independent investigation into Russia is something where we're even seeing a fair number of Trump voters saying, yeah, this is something that's worth looking into. And the other thing that's sort of notable on this particular issue is that you've had increasing numbers of people want the independent investigation. The first time that we polled on this issue about a month ago, the percentage of voters who wanted an independent investigation into Russia was in the 50s. Now it's up into the mid-60s. So that's definitely something where you see support going up. Another aspect of this is that we asked people, who do you think Russia wanted to win the election? Now 60% of voters say Trump. That was something where before the last month or so, a lot more people said they didn't think that Russia had an opinion one way or the other, or that they weren't sure what Russia's intentions were. And I think there is an increasing sense as these revelations sort of pile up people do think that Russia, actively intervened on Trump's behalf, and they want to get to the bottom of that. And I certainly think a lot of people are talking about impeachment, and we find substantial support for that already on a national basis. 44% support, 45% opposed. You still have voters pretty evenly divided about that. But one person pointed out to me that even when Bill Clinton was actively under impeachment, only 35% of voters supported that. So you have more people who already support impeaching Trump based on what we may yet find out, than supported impeaching Clinton when all the facts are sort of on the table. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that develops over time.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and Tom, before we let you go, let's go down to the state level for one issue, since today is House Bill 2's first anniversary or first birthday or whatever. We do have cupcakes with candles back in the back, but that's for someone else's birthday. I was a little bit confused when I walked in. Where is public opinion on House Bill 2 right now?
Well, it continues to be very unpopular. We find 32% support, 50% opposition. I thought what was really interesting that came out today was that there was actually a new Republican poll that came out on it in North Carolina, and they found that 54% of North Carolinians are opposed to HB 2, 33% in support. So it's interesting that we and this Republican polling company that did their poll just a couple weeks ago really find almost identical numbers on the issue. I think there's a very strong consensus, no matter what side of the fence of polling organizations coming from, that they find that this is very unpopular. And a few things that just sum it up pretty easily. We asked, do you think HB 2 is helping or hurting North Carolina? Only 24% think it's helping, 58% think it's hurting. Do you think it's had a positive or negative impact on the North Carolina economy? 57% a negative impact, only 10% a positive impact. Do you think it's had a positive or negative impact on North Carolina's reputation nationally? 56% a negative impact on North Carolina's reputation, only 16% a positive impact. And then we asked, do you think that it's actually made North Carolina safer? only 30% of voters say yes, 52% say no. And among women, who the whole premise of the bill is in particular making safer, there's an even stronger sense that it hasn't made the state safer. So basically, when it comes to HB2, what North Carolinians are saying is, we don't like it, it hasn't achieved its intended purpose, and then it's had all these negative impacts as well. And that's something that we've been finding in the polling for 365 days now, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
And I know we talked about this before, too, but to reiterate, is there an urban-rural divide there? That's something that's sort of been assumed, and we've talked about it already today when we talk about HB2, that opposition is strongest in the bigger cities, and when you get out into the rural part of the state that isn't necessarily economically affected as directly by the boycotts, you'd see a little bit more support. But is that, in fact, what the numbers bear out?
Sort of. I mean, it's definitely true that the opposition is strongest in the urban areas, but it's not popular anywhere. If you go out into a rural area, you might find that, like, voters are relatively divided about it. Maybe there's 40% support and 40% opposition or something like that. But I can't think of any legislative district we've polled where voters actually are like, oh my goodness, I love HB2. So it's really a situation where urban, suburban areas, overwhelming opposition, and then in the more rural parts of the state, maybe it's more evenly divided. But if there's a legislative district anywhere where you can go in and find people just saying, oh, we love HB2, it's not somewhere we've polled yet.
Publicpolicypolling.com is the website if you want to find out more. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.